after day at the World Fantasy Convention. What do? We went and got JH coffee.
Yes, yes, every day. Well, after that, we had my very first panel. Well, my only actual panel of the whole convention, which was witch literature, which was very fun.
That was a cool panel. And again, right before that panel, a couple of our friends came in and told me a flippin' hilarious story that I can't share. So I guess tell us about your panel and stuff.
I don't really know what to say. So, I mean, I greatly enjoyed it. Obviously, I love witches. I love writing about them, reading about them, games with them. So just getting to talk about, I guess, sort of like some famous witches, how they've been portrayed in, you know, literature and other media, where we potentially see them going in the future, maybe some other things that could come up that hasn't been covered yet in various media. And I was on that panel with, we mentioned Louisa earlier, and I got to be on there with her, which was really cool. As well as, you know, the other two panelists were great as well, but I'd already met her prior to that, so it was nice.
Yeah, which actually reminds me of something else that we should have mentioned with the con suite at World Fantasy, which was really cool. I don't even remember the one in New Orleans, or if there was one. If there was, I don't think we ever made it to it. But for this one, they had a guy named Joel running it, and he did such a, like, a great job running that con suite and the stuff. Because you think, like, when I'm talking about there being free food, I'm sure you're imagining, like, you know, sandwiches or something. But we went in there one morning time, like, as breakfast was finishing up, and they had, like, all kinds of bagels. And they even had salmon to put on your bagels. I guess it was, like, bagels and lox is what somebody told me. I'm an unrefined hillbilly. I don't know.
I think it was Tracy, which is funny that you say unrefined hillbilly. Oh. I'm pretty sure Tracy's the one who shared that.
She's totally going to listen to this, and she's going to think that you just called her an unrefined hillbilly.
No, I'm saying you're calling yourself an unrefined hillbilly, but never mind.
I'm sorry, Tracy. JH doesn't mean it. We love you.
My point is we're from the same state, so...
Yeah, I know. I know what your point was.
Yeah.
If you guys, if we did visual for this, you guys would see that JH is glaring daggers at me right now. So anyway, directly after JH's super awesome witch panel, we were standing there and we saw Louisa and Letty in the hall and started talking to them. And somehow we all ended up going and having breakfast together at the hotel, which was fun.
Yeah. Well, so we hadn't eaten yet, and so I can't remember if I've talked about this before. I've always had this anytime I have any sort of performance. Like growing up when I would do talent shows or whatever, every time I'd have to go on stage, like it was just butterflies in my stomach, feeling sick, and it wouldn't go away till afterwards. I get the same sort of thing for panels, so there was no way I could eat beforehand. So we hadn't eaten at that point, and we were going to go get food anyway. And luckily, Louisa and Letty were also talking about going to get food. So we're like, hey, let's just all go eat.
Yeah, that was super fun. Enjoyed talking to them. We had a blast. It was good. What's funny is I think it might have been even that day later that evening or something. We had just eaten dinner, and Letty came up and was like, what's your guys' dinner plan? I was like, oh, we just ate. And she was like, well, shoot, I was looking for somebody to go eat dinner with. And I was like, well, you've eaten with us a couple times anyways. You can, you know, find somebody new to eat with. And she was like, yeah, screw you guys. Which is really funny. Just very unexpected from her. So that was fun. Well, then we had your reading that day. That was cool. You had a pretty good turnout for your reading.
Yeah, that was, it was a couple hours later. And that one, I think, went, again, I get nervous for that sort of thing, but it went...
You were fine.
...really well, I think.
Yeah, you did great.
Yeah, I read from two different books, so that was nice.
Super awesome. And then, I honestly, it's a blur, whatever happened after that. I remember that evening we ended up in the Dragon's Den and ordered pizza delivered to the hotel.
Was that the night we had the tarot readings?
I want to say yes.
I think it was.
I think that's correct, yeah. So our friend Becca came up and she does tarot readings, and so she brought it up into the Dragon's Den and basically was just doing a reading for anybody who wanted to do it, which was super fun, and I think everybody enjoyed that immensely. Everybody who rolled around to our side and got in on that.
Yeah, I remember she had a line at one point, and anytime someone would get up, like someone else would rush over. Then from what she had said about it, it was a good way to kind of meet new people as well that she maybe hadn't talked to yet. And apparently some of them had asked about, like, you know, her books and whatnot. So it was a good kind of icebreaker for her.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone enjoyed the reading, except for me. But I don't want to talk about it. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It just, here's what I'll say is I've never had one before and I didn't know what to do, like how it worked. But like at some point all eyes turned towards me and it was like, it's your turn. You have to have one. And I was like, okay. And then, JH was like, I was like, well, I've never done one, so I don't know what this entails. And so JH was like, well, you just need to come up with a question. She'll explain the rest. And I was like, a question? Well, I don't have a question. And so I walked over there and she was like, get me set up. And I was like, she's like, you just have to have a question. I'm like, I have no idea what I would want to know right now. And then something popped into my mind and it was so disturbingly accurate. This is how crazy accurate it was. The question popped into my mind. And so we did the cards or whatever. I guess I drew them and then she explained them all to me. And then, afterwards, I was like actually stunned at how disturbingly accurate it was that I didn't want to go talk to anyone for a few minutes. So I just made her sit at the table with me and then had her teach me how to do a reading because I wasn't ready to deal with anyone. And when I got up and went over, of course, everybody wanted to know. And I was like, I don't want to talk about it. I just got punched in the teeth. I don't want to talk about it. But it was so accurate that I took a picture of my cards and the descriptions. And I handed them to JH and she read them and she knew what my question was. That's how disturbingly accurate it was. So it was weird. It was very, very bizarre for me.
Yep.
In fact, it was so bizarre that the next day, sitting with a group of friends, one of them had a reading and it came up and she made the comment to me like, I heard yours was a real punch or a real kick or something like that. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. And so like the conversation kind of lulled for a second. And then she turned and completely innocently asked me a question that was directly related to my question. It was bizarre. It was bizarre. I think the universe knowing. Yeah. So the universe is trying to tell me something.
Pointing you. Right. Yeah. I had I didn't have that with the people, like, you know, having it come up over and over with different people, but my reading was a similar thing where it's like, you know, I had my question and everything was very on point for what I'd been thinking and whatnot. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was cool. I think that was also the night of the art reception, wasn't it? The Saturday night.
Is that the same night?
I think so.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I was a little.
You might have done the art reception first, and then had the readings later.
I know we were late for the art reception and missed out on all the treats for the art reception. Also, I was a little tipsy. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like I said, like some of the days or nights would kind of blend together because we did a lot of the same things every day as far as like where we were and who we were interacting with.
Yeah. So that's something else maybe we should explain. So a lot of the conventions we go to, most all of them will have what they call a dealer's room where people are set up, you know, selling different geeky merchandise and whatever. There'll be some booksellers, publishers, things like that. World Fantasy is no exception, but then most conventions also have an art room. And again, World Fantasy is no exception. So there was like a bunch of really, really good art. People make mostly like geeky related art, right? And it's not just like paintings too, like some of it's pottery and sculptures and like the pottery that was there. I didn't realize this, but it was actually Somebody, one of the pottery artists was somebody we know from SoonerCon. They weren't there, but their pottery was there on the show. So anyway, so they'll do an World Fantasy, will do and what they call the art reception, where it's like everybody's supposed to go down and look at the art, and they pass out drinks and like treats again. We missed the treats though. We were a little late.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I remember we just talked to a bunch of people in there, and at some point we were talking about Dog Patch USA for some reason.
Yeah, I don't remember why that came up.
No idea. Doesn't matter. Sure. And then, yeah, so then we ended up back in the Dragon's Den, tarot readings, all that fun stuff. And, yeah, that was Saturday.
Yeah.
No. The mic's, it'll pick it all up. And it's live now, so introduce yourself.
Oh, hello. I'm Usman Malik, a writer of short fiction primarily.
I have met Usman for the first time this weekend at World Fantasy. We got to do, we did the opening panel of the convention together. It was worst writing advice, I think is what it was.
Which is probably what we ended up giving.
Yeah. Somebody stopped me, actually. This was a really nice compliment. Somebody stopped me in, I think, the elevator. And they were like, that was a really good panel. You guys did great. And they were like, but the only problem is I wrote down a lot of actual good advice you gave. But at the top of the page, I wrote worst writing advice. So I'm thinking I need to go up to my room and put an asterisk or something.
Probably fix that.
So I don't think that was the bad advice.
It was a fun panel. It was a good panel.
Yeah. How have you liked the convention?
I like it. This is my time away from normies. So yeah. I like this.
Get away from the Normans a little bit, hang out with
right.
the weirdos.
That's right. I like that part of it.
Yeah, we all got to be a little weird to be here and be pursuing this, right?
It's kind of like that, you know, uncorking.
Yeah.
Uncorking of quirkiness.
Have you been to a lot of World Fantasies?
I think this is my third.
Yeah. This was our second. We went to New Orleans last year, and it was like, oh, wow, this is a different vibe. Like, we got to
go
to more of these.
That was your first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like World Fantasy. It's quiet enough. It's also kind of a lot of old guard sort of here, and I like that. I like hanging out with my friends who are often missing at some of the other cons.
Yeah. Or people, maybe people you grew up reading and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, like yesterday we came in from lunch and we saw a couple of our friends sitting at a table with some strangers, right? And so I was like, sat down, and I realized one of the strangers was Esner Friesner. And it was just like, oh, wow, you know.
Nice.
That's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who you're interacting with or talking to sometimes, right?
That happened to me with Peter Straub. Not happened to me. I mean, I knew who Peter Straub was, but it was my first ICFA, 2013, and my wife and I went to ICFA together, and I dropped her in front of the hotel and went to park my car, and I came back and she was chatting up Peter Straub, and they were like, oh, Peter. And I'm like, what's happening here? and so she's just chatting, and they're like laughing, and Peter Straub was like 6'2".
Oh wow!
He was really tall, or somewhere in that ballpark. And so I'm like, Karen, do you know who you're talking to? And so she's like, no, yeah, hey, meet Peter. I made a friend, and I was like, yeah, I know
okay.
Peter. I know of Peter. And that was my introduction to Peter Straub.
That's brilliant. So that was something you and I were talking about the other day. So tell me about there's a Peter Straub book you wanted me to, you said I had to absolutely go read.
Have you read any Peter Straub at all?
I have not.
Okay, so Peter Straub passed away last year,
mm-hmm.
76, 78, some of that ballpark. He co-wrote The Talisman with mm-hmm. Stephen King. He wrote Black House. And then in the 1980s, his first big success was a novel called Julie,
okay.
Which was turned into a movie subsequently. And then Ghost Story was his follow-up, which was incredible, seminal work in horror.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter was always literary horror. He and Stephen King actually had a little bit of, you know, thing going on because Peter was just too literary for King, and King kind of knew that.
Yeah.
And so when they wrote The Talisman together, you can even tell mm-hmm. which parts are King and which parts are Peter. Although reportedly, and I never asked Peter this, they decided to emulate each other's styles to confuse people.
Oh, that's fun.
So Peter might have told me this. I don't know who told me this, but it was his work is amazing. But his collection, Interior Darkness, is his a retrospective of Peter Straub's work. It's very dark, very literary. It's amazing. It's everything that you want dark fantasy or horror to be.
That's brilliant.
It was unbelievable. He also edited American Fantastica for Library of America, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Peter was, he was just amazing. Just brilliant all around.
So one of your all-time favorites then?
Like writers?
Or? No, I'm saying he was one of your all-time favorites.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He was very much a seminal influence on me. Very much.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. So I won't keep you much longer. One more question. Advice for newbies: can be craft or business?
I'm going to quote directly from Patch Adams. Did I quote that on the panel?
I don't think so.
Okay. So Patch Adams, Robin Williams, like, so where his co-student is being a jerk. And so Patch Adams goes, you know, you think you have to be an asshole to succeed in this world, and you think that's a new idea.
Maybe you did say that on the panel.
You don't really have good. To be a jerk to succeed anywhere. So
I think we agreed on the panel. That was the one actual rule in this industry is do not be an asshole.
I think it's a great rule for... There's this idea of the mad creative, the indifferent creative, the asshole creative, right? The abusive creative. It's crap. You don't have to be abusive. In fact, you know, maybe the humbler you are, the better it is for you. I don't know.
I think
that's
so.
That's what I believe.
I believe. I mean, I don't know. I've had a great weekend. I've had a lot of good conventions over the years and a lot of good interactions in the industry over the years, and I don't think any of that would have happened if I was a jerk. Also, just for the listeners, this is funny. Joshua just walked by. His cookies have finally arrived. That's hilarious. Apparently, he ordered them they were trying to get them last night after the party.
Okay.
He was trying to get them delivered at 1 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And he accidentally chose 1 p.m. today.
Well, those are cookies that that certainly are compelling me to go to that table.
All right, well let's be done then, and we'll see what's happening.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, we'd love to have you on for a full episode sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we are at the World Fantasy Convention. I am sitting with Rebecca Harris, and you said you prefer to be called Becca, right?
My friends call me Becca.
Okay,
yes.
So yeah, professionally, your books are under Rebecca Harris.
Rebecca Harris.
Okay.
I also write under RJ Harris, would be what will be coming out in future for my sci-fi projects.
Okay, mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Differentiate my names. I also have a podcast that's kind of a spooky story podcast. Mm-hmm. I collect real people's spooky stories, fictionalize them, and then retell them. So it's, I storify them and then I read the story.
Okay.
So that is Beyond the Veil, Paranormal Tales. And that's got one season out. I'm working on collecting stories for the next round. So if anybody has a spooky story, feel free to reach out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we'll circle back to that. Mm-hmm. So for the convention, is this your second? I don't think we met last year. Was this your second time or first time?
This is my second time with World Fantasy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I guess tell us about some of your favorite reasons for coming, maybe favorite memories from this weekend.
So this weekend has been fun. Actually sat last night on Saturday night in the convention bar hosting a table with a bunch of tarot cards, doing tarot readings for quite a number of people. I've lost track. I do not know how many people I read, but it was a good time.
Yeah.
Met a lot of people. That was fun.
Yeah, I think you said you had a line at one point.
Yes. They were poking one another like, you're up next. How many cards did you get? I only got 3. You got 9?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was one of the people who got a 9-card reading, which was very fun.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was... So I've always been interested in that. I have a few decks of my own, but I don't do a lot of like the readings stuff.
Yeah.
I've actually pulled them out sometimes like when I'm writing as kind of like, can I use whatever I draw like in the scene I'm working on? So do you ever do that?
I do. So I'll pull a card at the beginning of a session sometimes just to see, you know, where's the direction we're going to go in today? What side of it should I work on? Should I be working on the polish of the old or move into the new? Kind of find the energy and move forward with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think those are really neat because I know a lot of writers will have, like, they'll talk about, you know, a writer's block or something like
mm-hmm.
that. So I don't typically get that, but I feel like those would be good things to have in case that comes up.
Yeah, kind of to help break the mundane side of
it. Yeah, to kind of like get the creative juices flowing.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and the artwork really cool in them is that. Beautiful too.
Yeah, and there's so many different decks nowadays
yes.
where like you can find whatever, you know, speaks to you, I guess, whatever's inspiring 100%. For you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really like them for that reason. Mm-hmm. I was telling her yesterday, I actually have a Lord of the Rings deck now, mm-hmm. which is really cool. For anyone who's listened to this podcast knows I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan, so yeah, that was right up my alley. But
yeah, I'd love to see it. It sounds like a beautiful deck. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
I'll have to keep an
it's
eye
really
out for
cool.
it.
Yeah, so I think I have that one, and I think the other one's called Deviant Moon. That one's really interesting looking. Lots of really cool. I guess they're supposed to be like moon people.
Okay.
Things. It's really cool. And then another that was like a bunch of crows. It was really cool.
Ooh, yes.
But, yeah.
There's a lot of different ones. They're very. I don't know. There's a lot of good choices out there. I usually suggest to choose by the artwork if you're going to go buy your own deck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess as far as the convention's concerned, mm-hmm. I guess talk about like what brings you, what keeps you coming back, what is your hope like when you're here? What is kind of like your goal? Is it more networking? Is it to learn business stuff or somewhere in between?
A little bit of everything. So I'm here to meet people and to make connections and to, you know, just make... trying to think of how to phrase it, but to, yeah, network is a big part of it. There's a lot of business side of it that I haven't learned yet since I'm a little bit on the newer side of all of this. Mm-hmm. So that's been very interesting to learn things that I wouldn't consider doing, checking out things like the Kickstarter panel and seeing what does that look like? I may never ever do it, but it's very interesting to learn about
things
like that.
Yeah, I've thought of that same thing because I've never done a Kickstarter. I'm aware of how it works, but if I were to set out and do one now, it's like, okay, how much research am I going to have to do? How much prep work ahead of time am I going to have to do? Because it's one of those things where it seems like just jumping in and doing it is not the best idea.
No, and that was kind of where the panel led.
Right.
They were talking about months of preparation in advance to get it done right, and it's very interesting to learn.
Yeah, so that's one thing I like about these things is, you know, if you're interested in a topic, you can find people who are very knowledgeable about it and will talk about it with you. Even more so than, like, obviously you can find stuff online, but it's a little different when you're talking with someone one-on-one and can ask specific questions. So,
oh, of course, yeah. And a lot of the panelists are more than willing to hang around after the panel and chat with you in the hallway and answer any additional questions you may have once the panel time runs out, which is always very helpful.
Right.
And again, with the networking.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll finish up with, I guess, talking about, your books, maybe if you have anything out now, or if you're just working on something.
I am in the middle of working on a project. I don't have very much out right now. I've got a couple of little short stories and I've got, a book of poetry, if that's up your alley.
Okay.
But what I'm working on right now is a sci-fi project that'll be an interesting one. It's a kind of a medically possible zombie sort of a thing, but we're following real people, and I like incorporating things like the tarot readings into the work as well to use that as like a plot point.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So trying to take the things that I enjoy in reality and work them into the fiction and make it a more well-rounded world.
Gotcha. So is that one, are you still writing the first draft? Are you in the editing drafts?
Oh, I'm deep in the editing.
Okay.
I have been working on this project for about a decade now.
Oh, wow.
So I started this as a National Novel Writing Month project. I did 110,000 words in my first month, got the first draft out.
That's amazing.
And then I've been picking it apart and putting it back together since then as I find the larger stories. It started off as just a people story, but it's a much larger, overarching thing as well with what happened to cause the problems and how do we solve this issue now and where do we go from here.
Okay.
So I'm trying to tell that story in addition to the people story now on this pass, which makes it more difficult, but I've got a lot of material to work with.
Yeah. So are you going to be submitting that one when you're done with it?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Yep. That's my plan, is to try to wrap that up here in the next 6 months or so, if possible.
Okay.
And start looking for a home for it.
So the short stories and poetry you have out, where can people find those?
If you check me out on Amazon, I'll be on there under Rebecca Harris. But you want to find, what you're looking for is, I'm trying to think, my brain is, I'm very tired. It's been a long weekend, guys.
It has been a
very long weekend,
several really early mornings.
So Nothing Lasts Forever would be my short story that is published on Amazon. You can find that on the Kindle store, and that will also connect you to Bony Fingered Limbs, which is my book of poetry.
That sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a big one. If you like poetry, it's like a 400 pages of goodness.
Wait, 400 pages of poetry? That
yes,
is amazing.
Yes. It's almost right. a memoir in poetry because I kind of kept it chronological,
okay.
starting when I was a teenager and learning poetry in school, but nice. I seem to have a knack for it, and people seem to like it. So.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Yeah, absolutely, check that out.
And I use the poetry language in my prose as well.
Yeah.
How can you not?
Right. All right, well, thank you for joining us. I'm so glad, you know, good to hang out this weekend and get to talk. And
it's great to meet you.
So, all right.
Well, thanks for having me.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. The day we were supposed to go home. So the whole convention, everybody was like, you're going home on Sunday? Well, you know there's supposed to be bad weather. It's going to be snowing and stuff. And I was like, no, it's not. And I kept looking at the forecast, and it didn't seem to be an issue. And then Sunday morning, I woke up on, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours of sleep, and I felt like garbage, and I didn't want to leave and go home. And when we went downstairs, there people were talking about the roads being bad and stuff, and I looked at the forecast, and that was like snow and rain, and I was like standing there, and like a bunch of our friends were, you know, gathered around the lobby and stuff, and it was like, I don't want to go home. I don't feel like driving 3 hours after 3 hours of sleep, and I don't really want to drive home if it's snowing and or raining the whole time. So we made the spur of the moment decision to extend our stay for one more day.
Yep.
So JH went to get coffee and once again ran into Bill Ledbetter getting her coffee. Mm-hmm. And I went to the hotel counter to see if they would extend us a day, and they were super sweet and they did, but they had, for some reason, they were having trouble with their system getting it to like extend our room for us for a day. Like they just like, they even had like called out the manager at one point, like 4 different people were trying to get it to work, and it was just whole thing. But they finally,
yeah, just computer issues or something.
Yeah.
Being weird.
Just computer stuff. Their computers were struggling that morning. But they were super nice about it. And just because it took so long, they ended up hooking us up with a free breakfast in their fancy restaurant at the top of the hotel, which we got to enjoy Monday. So I guess we'll talk about that in the next section. So Sunday, the convention is sort of winding down. That's when they do the World Fantasy Awards, which we didn't actually, I think we just hung out in the Dragon's Den.
Yeah, we did. There was the banquet as well, which was kind of connected to it. So that was also part of it, because you have to buy separate tickets for the banquet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you have to have a ticket for the awards themselves, but I think they're, like, the awards are right after the banquet, I want to say. So if you don't go to one, like, figuring out when the next one starts is a little more difficult as well.
I mean, yeah, we totally could have done all of it. We just didn't. And we didn't last year either. I guess it's just not that big of a deal for me to want to go to that. I even made the comment, we were sitting there and they were talking about it, and I was like, you know, honestly, I think even if I was up for an award, I think I'd probably be sitting in the Dragon's Den with all my friends just hanging out anyway. But that's what a bunch of people did, which was when we broke out the microphone and all the interviews you're hearing. That's when I think all of them occurred during that time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So that was super fun. I just, one after another, poor Usman, like when you hear his part, he had like no idea. He just walked over to our table and said hello, and I was just finishing, and everybody was like, go over there. And then he was like, what? And I was like, come here. Then he came over and he's like, oh man, he's like, I've been talking about my work all weekend. I don't want to talk about my work anymore, man. And I was like, you don't have to. We'll talk about whatever you want. So I think his section, we're talking about like Peter Straub and stuff. It's funny. Just they ambushing people. And that is where I met Aaron Bales, or Bale. I never spoke to her at all in my whole life. And she heard what was happening at the table and jumped up and ran over to get in on it. So that was fun.
Yes, she did.
She's cool. She's got a Mass Effect Paragon tattoo on her arm. I thought that was awesome. So we did all of that, and then a big group of us went back to Crown Center to the mall and hit up the tea shop so we could try the teas and have the fancy mooncake Fig Newtons. And
yeah, I was just really curious about the tea. It was set up with an Asian theme, and lots of really cool, you know, little teacups and whatnot in the shop itself. And then, you know, had just a small tea menu with a few treats, like the moon cakes he mentioned. But yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. They made fun of me though, because like I didn't know what to order. Like, I've never been to a fancy tea shop, so I just ordered something. And we were sitting out at the tables, and they're like, what do you think of your tea? I'm like, I mean, it's all right. It tastes like just like some kind of herbal tea. And they were all like, well, that's because you got a basic B-word tea, and we all got fancy B-word teas. And I'm like, well, maybe you fancy B-words should help an idiot out and tell me to get a better tea than what I got. Like, like, what? Don't make fun of me because you didn't help me. Then I guess we left the tea shop and went and met up with a bunch of others, and we went to a barbecue restaurant called Burnt Inn. And there's a couple of pictures. Burnt Inns, yeah. I put a couple of pictures up on the Book of Faces from that.
Yeah.
That was good.
I'm not much of a barbecue fan, but they had other things on the menu, so I was able to find something I liked. And she literally got to go ahead.
She literally just ordered two sides. They just brought her two sides.
Well, here, the thing is, I've talked about this before, maybe not on the podcast, but I definitely feel like the portion sizes at a lot of restaurants are just way too large. And maybe for some people, they're not. But for me, they definitely are most of the time. So I'll often either not be able to finish my food, or I'll have to get a to-go box and take it home, and it might take me a couple days to finish all of it. So I didn't want to deal with all of that. Like, you know, at this rate, I would have to just let it go to waste, because even though we have a mini fridge in our room, like, there's no room for anything. So, I'm not a barbecue person anyway. So I literally got, I think, potato salad and mac and cheese, and that was way more than enough.
Yeah, that was fun. They had these like deep fried cornbread things that were ridiculously good. I was trying to think. There's some funny things that happened. There's some funny things that happened there, but I wasn't sure which ones to share. There was the waiter came up at the start, and JH had sat as far from me as humanly possible. Which, if you saw my pictures, you will notice.
That wasn't by design. The others had already gone over to the restaurant. I was waiting on two of our party members who weren't quite ready yet when the others were, and then you had gone to the bathroom. So by the time all of us got to the table, there were only a few seats left, so we just happened to get the available ones, and they were not next to each other.
Yeah, that's fine. I guess what listeners are really going to know is that if I would just stop going to the bathroom, I'd stop running into trouble. no, but it was funny because so I was sat completely on the opposite end from her. And so when the waiter came up, he was like, is everybody doing separate checks? And we were all like, yeah, that's fine. And I was sitting beside Gerald Brandt, and he's like, well, what are you going to do about yours? And I was like, it's fine. I'll just pay two bills or whatever, right? So when the waiter came around, we saw JH point over at me. And then Becca made a motion too, like she was, and I'm like, what's happening over there? And Gerald was like, I'm pretty sure you just were told that you're paying for the entire table. And I was like, oh no. And so when the waiter came around, I think, I don't know if Gerald had got up for a moment or something. And the waiter was like, I'm not sure. Was she pointing at him or you? And I was like, oh, she's pointing at me. And he goes, oh, okay. I thought she was pointing at him. And so then we got that sword, and the waiter walked off, and Gerald was like, did you get that sorted? And I was like, yep, now you're paying for the whole thing. Oh, that was another funny thing. So Gerald and Joshua Palmateer and Evan Braun, I think, all ordered drinks or whatever. And the waiter, a human being with two hands, brought over two of the drinks, and it was for Evan and Joshua. And so then the waiter turned to walk off to get Gerald's, and Gerald's like, huh, what the heck? Where's my drink? And Joshua was like, calm down, they're bringing it. And I'm like, yeah, man, he's only got two hands. Like, like, what the heck? And so sure enough, the waiter came back with Gerald's, and Gerald's like, oh, thank you. And then as the waiter stepped away, I was like, excuse me. Hey, just whenever you're bringing drinks over, can you make sure that he gets his first? Because he's super precious about it. <It's> good. Yeah, so after we left Burnt Ends, we walked back to the hotel. But at that point, the closing ceremonies had already happened. Everything shut down. So the Dragon Den was no more. In fact, most people, I would say the majority of people had left at that point, right? They probably flew out or drove out Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. So when we got back, there were a bunch of people crowded in the bar, but it was pretty full up. And now the Dragon Den's closed. So we took another, there's a section where they have some couches and chairs. And we kind of just took that over. And somebody came down with five or six bottles of wine. And I just sort of named it the post-apocalyptic con party, something like that. And we just hung out there for a long time with, everybody. And we'd still got to meet a few more people and just talk the evening away. It was definitely worth staying for the next day. I was very glad we did for many reasons. Mm-hmm. The least of which, being that I didn't get enough sleep to drive, but it was a super fun day. I'm super glad we stayed. Mm-hmm. And we actually went to bed at a decent hour on Sunday.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Yeah, especially compared to all the other nights before that where it was 1 a.m. Sunday night was much better in that regard.
Jage did not appreciate having to stay up till 1 a.m. every night. But the thing is, last year in New Orleans, I don't think we went to bed before 3 a.m. any night.
I should also clarify that I am a night owl, but I'm a night owl who's forced to, at the moment, get up at 6 a.m. every day. So, I'm right now, since I'm in that, daily habit, even though I'd like to stay up later, my body just kind of no, we can't keep doing this, and starts to shut down on me, give me headaches, all of that fun stuff. So I want to stay up late. I just regret it when I do.
Yeah. I was regretting it every morning when we got up, frankly, but it was totally worth it. It was so much fun.
Yeah. It did catch up with me after a couple days. I had a really bad headache one day. But luckily after that, it didn't do so again. I mean, I'm still really tired even today, and I feel like that's carrying over from the long weekend. But hasn't gotten so bad again like it did that one day.
Yeah, I mean,
and honestly, I wouldn't change anything.
I think for future World Fantasies, we probably just won't leave till Tuesday and just sleep, say bye to whoever's still there on Monday. And then just sleep all day Monday and Monday night.
Yeah. Well, in an ideal world, if, say I'm working fully for myself and I can set my own hours, I'm going to be sleeping in later and staying up later. So that would be more my natural waking hours anyway. So it wouldn't be as much of a big deal.
Not me. if I didn't have to have a day job, I'm up at 6 a.m. every day.
No, I would not. The earliest I could see me doing that, if I didn't have to, would be maybe 7 or 7:30. That'd be the earliest I'd ever want to do by choice.
I can't believe you let me get away with even saying that, to be honest, because I don't even get up at 6 a.m. now when I'm supposed to.
I know. I was trying to help keep up your illusion, but yeah, most of the time you just snooze your alarm for another hour.
If I wasn't supposed to use the snooze button, there wouldn't be one on my phone. All right, that's Sunday.
All right. right, I'm sitting here with Paula Lafferty, who I just got to meet this weekend at the World Fantasy Convention in Kansas City. So I will actually let you talk about kind of what you write, a little bit about yourself, anything you're working on or promoting.
Super. So go ahead. All right. Well, it's my first World Fantasy Con, so that's very exciting. And I have written one book that's going to be published next October. It's about a girl growing up in present day who finds out she's actually from the 7th century and she's the legendary Queen Guinevere. So time travel, romance, magic, adventure, all
that
of that
fun
stuff. So yeah. And what's the other part of the question? Can you refresh my memory?
Oh yeah, just I guess like what you've written in the past,
oh, yeah.
what you're working on now, anything you have coming out.
Yeah.
And just kind of like you as a writer.
Okay.
If you know you're just meeting someone for the first time and you're telling them about, you know, what you write.
Well, I think fair to say I'm pretty early days in the dedicated writing journey. So this book that is coming out will be my debut, and kind of dove back into writing because of getting really engaged in the TikTok community and the BookTok community, which has just been such a gift of joy and fun and connection. So really enjoy all the book content that's on TikTok and Instagram, connecting with people there, but this is a totally different sphere, connecting with people at World Fantasy Con. So me as a writer, I know my background is in, I have a degree, undergrad degree in film production, so a lot of screenwriting.
Oh, that's cool.
But I think fantasy has always kind of been the lifeblood, the driving force
yeah.
of what makes me want to write.
Yeah. I feel that very strongly.
Yeah.
So you mentioned this is your first World Fantasy. Have you ever been to any other conventions before? Or
no.
This is your first time?
I've been completely unplugged from this whole universe, and it is like an awakening into a whole new existence, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It seems like the social media world is really separated from this one, which is kind of strange because I think everybody would really like each other if they met. So,
So what's been your favorite thing about being here? I guess, so I'll add on to that. So
yeah.
what made you want to come now? What were you hoping to gain by being here? And then what has been your favorite, you know, experiences while you're here?
Yeah. Most of my author friends have been people I've met online, which has been amazing because then there is no limitation to where people are and how much you can connect. And also, we all living through the pandemic know that there's not really anything that compares to sitting next to somebody, looking somebody in the eyes, you know. So being able to sit down at tables with people, having those between the panel and the staircase conversations, just the hallway moments of actually connecting and finding those deep points where you're like, oh my God, I get you. I know you. That's been my favorite part. And I think getting to talk to people one-on-one, I mean, there's everybody from any walk of experience here, from people who exclusively self-publish, people who hybrid, people who traditionally publish, and editors and agents, and coming in really without any agenda, trying to sell anything or win anybody over and just make friends has been such a valuable experience.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So is there any favorite memories you've had since you've been here? Favorite experiences, panels, conversations?
God, it's hard. That's hard to narrow down. Well, I just think the general vibe of coming and not knowing anybody and it being like kindergarten all over again.
Yes.
Like, hi, I'm Paula. Do you want to be my friend? It's been the vibe all weekend. I think all of the favorite moments is that there's never been a single instance of this, hi, do you want to be my friend, where I've gotten a no or even like a hesitant yes.
Yeah.
That it's been such a welcoming and warm community. So
absolutely.
I know that's a broad non-answer, but that is my favorite part.
Yeah. I mean, it is a legitimate thing because there are so many people who are, you know, I've talked to, you know, many other people who's this is their first time, you know, at anything like this, and they're all super nervous and afraid to approach people. And so to be able to tell other people like, hey, everyone's really welcoming and friendly and you can just approach and become friends, like, that's very encouraging, mm-hmm. especially for people who are just starting out or just aren't used to this sort of environment. So true. Yeah,
so true. Actually, okay, I do have a very favorite. So one day I was sitting at a table with Jenny, one of the authors here, and someone who is also a writer and an editor came over, and he was like, "Hey, Jenny, do you want to go for drinks?" And Jenny was like, "I have plans, but Paula doesn't have plans." And basically, like, took her invite and set it in front of me and set me up with a new group of people.
That's
so
awesome.
Just the generosity.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is there anything you want to promote before we go? Maybe tell people where they can find you?
I would love to say I have a website, but I don't. But you can find me on TikTok. My username is just Paula Lafferty. Or on Instagram, my username is Paula Lafferty Writes. So hang out with me on the socials.
Yeah. All right. And hopefully we'll see you at the next World Fantasy or maybe another convention.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Monday's a sad day. I don't want to talk about it. Monday, we finally went home. But we didn't have to get in a super rush because we didn't have to check out till noon. And even then, like, you know, we had a long drive. So it was like we weren't going to wait all day to do it. But we had, you know, we didn't have to rush out of there. And, like, we still had a few friends who were there. So, like, we got up pretty early and we went to the fancy, I don't know what you'd even call it, the fancy restaurant at the top of the hotel.
Restaurant. Yeah, so the reason we'd gotten up kind of earlier was so I had a morning meeting I was going to have to do, and maybe like an hour or so beforehand, it was canceled. So we were already up and around. So we just went ahead and went up to the breakfast place.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Like, it had a, like, really cool view out over the city and stuff. But they had eggs and pancakes up there, and I liked it. I was texting people and being like, "You peasants are missing out." I was just, I say people. It was just Shane. Shane was the only one that got a text message calling him a peasant. It's fine. He's super polite. He's Canadian. He wouldn't say anything mean back. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we did that. And then we went down and got our stuff kind of packed up and then went and met Shane in the lobby, hung out with him for a while. Then David Stokes came down as he was getting ready to leave. And Becca came down. And
Aaron
Bale came and sat with us for a while. It seems like a few other people too. It's just whoever was left, you know? Oh,
right. Still lingering.
I almost forgot.
Last day.
We got JH a coffee at Starbucks.
I think that's a given.
But yeah, it wasn't too bad. The worst part was when we went to, pack the car. And I thought it'd just be clever. And instead of trying to like move the car in front of the hotel and do all that, I was like, let's just sneak the cart out to the parking garage, which we got like almost all the way there and finally hit a set of stairs we couldn't get down with the cart. Which was my first clue. We weren't supposed to do that, I guess. But there was like,
I mean, if we'd gone that other way, cause there was one day when we came through the parking garage back into the hotel and we came a different way. And if we'd gone that way going out, we might've been able to make it, but it would just be a matter of finding out, you know, how to take that path again. Cause it wasn't one we'd traveled before.
Yeah. And it wasn't like, I mean, it sounds like it was a grand adventure, and it was like, we had no idea. We had a guide.
Yeah.
We ran into some dude who was like, "Oh, just follow me." And it like ended us in another part of the hotel, what didn't involve our convention. In fact, some kind of weird Christmas tree convention was going on. It was just packed with Christmas stuff. And we just strolled through the middle of their convention without badges and stuff and slipped through. But we didn't know how to get back that way. So that might have worked, but it was fine. It wasn't a big deal. The only part that sucked was like, I had to cross, like I was carrying all of our stuff from the cart to the car, which I was able to move the car up to get like, I don't know, 50 feet away or something. But there was like the opening. And so like this freezing wind would rush through. So like every time I was past there, I was like, ah, like run to the other side. It was fine. Yeah. I don't know. It was fun, though. We got to hang out with everybody a little bit more. And then went and had lunch with a couple of our friends and made our very, very sad goodbyes. I made them wait while we bought more coffee. Jage was like, you just say goodbye now. And I'm like, no, they will stand here and wait for us to get drinks. And then we will say bye before we walk out of here. Oh, and David Stokes, we didn't actually get to, like, really properly get to say goodbye to him. Cause we went over to get a coffee or something when he was getting ready to leave, but he left us some books, which I thought was really, really nice of him. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very neat. But then I guess that was it. We bailed out, took the long drive home. I've been sad ever since.
Yeah. Say long drive. It was about 3 hours for us.
It felt longer because I was tired. I'm still tired. I'm still not recovered.
It's same.
World Fantasy. It is too good. If you're an author, even if you don't write fantasy, it's such a good convention. Just go. It's so good. Next year, it's going to be in Niagara, New York, which if you're like, Niagara, New York sounds familiar. It's like, because that's where Niagara Falls is. So, also, by the way, I was thinking we should hit up all of our World Fantasy friends and try to coordinate, like, getting everyone there a day early or something so we can just go knock out the falls before the convention.
I'll let you get right on that.
Or the day after the convention. But we got to go see Niagara Falls, but I don't want to miss any of the convention to do it. I want to miss World Fantasy to look at some stupid water. it's so good. World Fantasy is amazing. I absolutely love it. It's so good. All right. Yep. Final thoughts?
I think we covered pretty much all of it. It's a great convention. Probably one of my favorites now that we go to. And,
let's just do a,
I'm already excited for next year.
So World Fantasy every year is hosted by a different, fandom group that like votes, like there people vote for where it's going to go, which fandom group's going to run it. So obviously this year's was ran by the Kansas City group. So super shout out to Rosemary and Ruth and Carol, Liz, Joel. And that is all the names I can remember of people who helped run it. But big thanks to everyone. You guys put on a super good convention. Maybe none of you will ever hear this, but if you do, it was amazing and we loved it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tell them where to find you.
I am on all the social media sites. Just look for JH Fleming, also at jhfleming.net. My folk band is on all the music sites. Just look for Wildwood Minstrels. And, I think those are all the current places. I would normally mention Fiverr, but I think I'm about to take a little break from that because Phil and I are now doing NaNoWriMo, the National Novel Writing Month. So yeah, I need to put all my energy into finishing my novel.
Yeah, because we didn't have enough crap going on. We decided, so we are recording this on November 1st, which is officially the first day of NaNoWriMo. And for anybody who doesn't know, that means National Novel Writing Month. And the general idea is to write a whole novel in a month or 50,000 words of a novel in a month. Some people like work on different things that they're already working on or whatever. I'm kind of weird about it. Like if I'm going to do it, I feel like it has to be like a new project and I have to try to do the whole thing that month because I'm an idiot. So while I'm in the middle of writing another Blade Mage novel, book 5, The Southern Circle, and I'm trying to get the Axemen of Autumn ready to start shopping out. And I got some other little projects I was looking at doing. And I'm editing a novel for JH. I was like, hey, like, so literally like 10 o'clock last night, it was like, should we do NaNoWriMo? And it was like, well, if we did, what are we going to do? And then next thing I knew, like we were committed to the path. And so I started a brand new novel this morning. 2,000 words down, though.
Yeah, for me, it was a little easier because I was already about 24,000 words into the novel I've been working on. I have a little under 51,000 words left to go as far as, you know, what my word count goal is. So if NaNoWriMo's goal is 50,000, I'm pretty much already there as far as what I have left to go. So it just kind of made sense, like, hey, let's knock out the remaining 50,000 words in a single month.
Not me, whole new book, because I'm an idiot. All right. And I've forgotten my name. I'm still too tired, but you should go buy my books so that I can go to more world fantasy conventions.
All right. I am sitting with the lovely and wonderful Susan Forrest. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I am from Canada. Mm-hmm. I write epic fantasy novels. My series is called Addicted to Heaven. Book three just came out this
week. Woohoo! Yeah, yes, we went to the launch party. It was fun.
Yeah. Beyond that, I've got maybe 25 or 30 short stories. Analog, Asimov's, Beneath Ceaseless Skies, places like that. Mm-hmm. I edit. Mm-hmm. I teach, and I come to conferences and meet you.
We met you for the first time last year at World Fantasy.
That's right. I love World Fantasy.
Susan was another of the Canadians who adopted JH and I last year when we were sad little lonely authors milling around by ourselves.
We had fun. We had fun. We still do.
Yes, we do. We had fun this one too. Yeah. And we did your book launch party was super fun.
Yes.
We did that on, was that Thursday night?
Thursday night, yes.
Yep, that was fun. We had to figure out how to find a bottle opener, and we fought with the technology to try to get your book trailer to play the way we wanted, and we had to settle.
We finally got it to work. Yeah. So it was all good.
Yeah, and it was a lovely trailer. That was really fun.
Thank you.
Did you say your daughter helped you with it?
Yes, my daughter's an artist, mm-hmm. and so she has all the, not only the training, but also the professional software, and it was so much fun. We've actually done five, I think, book trailers so far, and they're not, you know, just the picture of the book with somebody talking. Mm-hmm. We go out and actually film scenes and ideas from the novels. Mm-hmm. And considering it's epic fantasy, you know, there were some issues. For instance, it's kind of really hard to film in a castle.
Right.
Because there's no castles where I live.
Right.
But I have a friend who has the most amazing house. Mm-hmm. And she's a writer as well. And I said to her, can we come and film in your house?
Oh, that's fun.
She gave us her house for the day, and her house is so big that she and her family just went to a different part of the house. Yeah. So we did some of it there. My sister has 9 horses, so we did some of the
With the stables and, yeah.
Yeah, all of that out there. And, we did it very much on the cheap, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. I have friends who are actors, and I sewed most of the costumes myself. So that's,
oh, that's
how we
fun.
Did it.
Well, it's cool that you got to do a project like that with your daughter. That's got to be cool.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. And so my publisher hired a woman to write a piece of music for book one of the series. Mm-hmm. And this woman, her name is Sora. I'm going to give her a big plug, because she was so amazing and so generous that we used her song for the first book trailer, but she let us remix it in any way we want. She even gave us the files, like the voice-only file, the instrumental-only file, as well as the full file, mm-hmm. and allowed my daughter to remix it with music she found on the internet.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And so each of the book trailers has that similar quality of the music, but they're all different too.
Oh, wow. That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So where can people find it?
Well, my website is speculative-fiction.ca, but it's on Kobo, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's in all of the places.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And how long have you been coming to World Fantasy?
Ooh, that goes back a few years. I've been coming for a while. I'm not sure I could tell you what the first year.
That's fun. Is it one of your favorites? I mean, you keep coming, yes. So obviously.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, coming from Canada to the States, our dollar is not favored.
Yeah.
So I am very careful about which conventions I come to in the States, and mm-hmm. World Fantasy is definitely one of my favorites. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I came last year, came this year, probably come next year, too.
Well, next year will be a little closer for you, maybe, won't it?
It will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking That'll forward be nice. To that.
Yeah. Way further for me, but we're going to try to make it there anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? That's a good thing that it moves around, right?
Yeah. So. That's one of the cool things about it. All right, one more thing.
Okay.
Piece of advice. What would be a piece of advice you'd give to a newbie author? Can be craft or business.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you've heard all of the famous pieces like read, 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 write, mm-hmm. write, write. I think, and the other one that you hear often, which is so important, is keep on going. I heard somebody say once, and I really remember this one, that in order to achieve your dreams as a writer, you need to have three things, and you need to have all three. You need to have talent.
Okay.
You need to have persistence.
Okay.
And you need to have luck.
Okay.
So, you know, if the luck isn't flowing your way right now, keep being persistent and the luck will flow your way.
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Susan.
Well, hey, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really pleased.
Thanks. Nervous?
Nah.
Okay, good. Because that'd be weird if you were nervous.
Okay.
You've never been nervous in your whole life talking to me.
Never.
Never.
Nope.
I'm sitting here with officially the politest person I have ever met, probably. In fact, here's a really funny story I'm not allowed to tell, so I can't tell you, but it's so good. He literally, his politeness resulted in me laughing so hard last night in the middle of this convention that I have a sore throat this morning from laughing. I literally sprained my throat laughing so hard.
My throat is also sore. Maybe one day we can tell that story. One day.
We'll let it marinate for a while.
Yeah, for now, let's just move on.
All right, so I am sitting here with my good friend Shane Easman. Is that how you say your last name?
No, Easton.
Easton?
Easton.
It's not an M?
No, it's an N.
Hell, I feel like I don't know you at all. It is an N. Why did I say M? You can pick up your wallet.
No, that's good.
It's fine.
Yeah.
No, now it's weird, and they're gonna hear all of this.
All right.
I'm not editing this out. I'm not editing for you. He's so, like, this guy is so polite, he just accidentally dropped his wallet, and he's like, instead of leaning over to pick it up, he's like, I'll just leave it on the floor, because I don't want to interrupt this super professional podcast we're doing.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Why are you so polite, Shane?
I'm Canadian. It's in my DNA. It's how I was raised. It's how everyone is raised. Maybe it's the water. I don't know. But maybe we're taught to say sorry at such a young age. And it's ingrained. It's ingrained in who we are.
I'm standing by what I said last night. It is not a Canadian thing. It is you. The other Canadians are not as polite as you.
No, I disagree. I'm sure there's other Canadians that are just as polite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I met Shane for the first time last year in New Orleans. He was one of the Canadian crew who adopted JH and I while we were lonely little writers roaming through New Orleans. We've been friends ever since, I guess.
Yeah.
So let's tell the world about your stuff. You don't have anything. Well, I guess you.
I do have a novel under contract to be published. Right now, it's just to be determined. We had some delays with COVID. Right now, it's looking like next year, but it's not set in stone either. It's dark fantasy. The title is The Rhythm of a Jaded Heart. And yeah, it's about a society trying to survive when the magic they relied on for centuries suddenly turns against them.
I didn't tell you this, but one of JH's more recent books is like sort of a similar theme, but it's like way after, right? So it's like way after they effectively, like, the world lost its magic.
Yeah.
And so way after, this is the state they're in, and kind of a, like, rediscovery sort of thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, mine's basically, it's, you know, there's a group of warriors, and they're called hearts. And they receive their power through the binding of their souls to their dragon king.
Okay.
And through this binding, they are effectively, they're transposing their emotions into their king. And it somewhat recycles back into them, but when the power comes back into them, it's mixed. It's mixed emotions. And they don't understand how to comprehend those emotions. And it becomes, it leads into some difficult decisions.
Okay.
And through this whole scenario, what happened, the Dragon King is, he's using their powers against them emotionally. Let's put it that way.
That's not very polite.
It's not very polite.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to do that.
That's okay. Yeah.
He's like, right now in his head, he's like, what a jerk. Why don't you get off me this polite thing? But he's too polite to even call me out on it.
No, you're not a jerk. No, it's, I've always had difficulty talking about my work. It's just, you know, it's just who I am. I feel, I don't know what the right word is. It's just,
Well, it could be weird, right?
Well, it's not weird. It's just like, I don't want to be pushy. And I guess maybe that's my politeness coming out again.
That is your politeness
coming
out again, yeah.
You know, who wants to hear about me and my stuff? Like, that's just how my brain works.
Probably readers.
Yeah.
That would like to read your book.
Yeah.
Would be a good... you know what I actually stumbled, that I was stumbling on was not the one you don't have published. It was the one that you did. And I was like, I don't know if you wanted me to talk about the one you did because...
Which one? Which side?
You have the one book that was published a long time ago, right?
Oh, yeah. It's still out there. It's called The Wrath of Tsar. And that was published back in 2007. I wrote that book in high school.
Yeah.
And what happened was I bumped into this fellow at a convention, and we started talking, and he said, what do you write? I said, fantasy. He said, you got something? I said, yeah, I've got a story that I wrote. And he said, pass it to me, and I did. And then next thing you know, it was getting published. Looking back on that decision, I'm not so sure that was a good idea. I mean, it was a story that I wrote in high school, and it reads like one, unfortunately. Yeah. And you know, it's your first book that you put out there, and that's your audience's first reaction of who you are as an author. And
I made those mistakes too, though, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know if I told you that, but I foolishly self-published the first book I wrote. And then I self-published a few others. And not that self-publishing is foolish. Obviously, I still do that now quite a bit more successfully than I was doing back then.
Yeah.
But it was foolish in that my finished product was not to the level it should have been. Right.
Yeah.
So I get that. And I have, the thing was, is that because the ones I self-published, I was able to pull them back off the market. One of them I rewrote and put back out, but like, I still have people occasionally hit me up for, I had a book called, We Are From Earth. And then, I had a book called, I called it Vanguard, but it was like Vanguard of the Desolate World, the Hellhounds. It was like a post-apocalyptic thing. And so like, I have some people occasionally reach out like, hey, where can I get that? I'm like, well, you can't now because it's gone because I wrote it so poor. And then the other thing is like, I did some short stories and things with different publishers that I wasn't ready. They shouldn't have, like, I'd be kind of embarrassed today.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's right. And I absolutely love your business cards, which you did. Yeah, taking your bad reviews and putting it on your business card. It's brilliant, actually.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one thing about this industry that I've learned, you know, especially in the last 5-6 years, is having a sense of humor about all of this.
Yeah. Right?
It's really important.
You got right? to.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Well, you know, the business card thing is funny because I've had those for, I don't know, a couple years now or something. So I've taken them to like every convention and like people find that amusing, but not in the way that the people here at World Fantasy have. Because I've had like randomly, you know, we've been sitting there talking to somebody and they'll be like, oh, show this person your business card. I was like, all right, I'll hand them out. It was like, I've handed out nearly all my business cards because other people are like, they got to see your business card. It's funny.
Yeah. Oh, so it's that was brilliant. I like it.
No, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
And like I said, so I'm gonna find your book. I'm gonna read it, and then I'm gonna create the worst review you've ever had.
But it'll be any guys you'll know who it came from because it'll be the worst review ever. But it'll be so fucking polite.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be the
most
politest.
Polite worst review you've ever had.
Yeah. I love it. I dig it. All right, so. World Fantasy. You've been going to World Fantasy for a long time.
Yeah.
Since how long?
2008.
So, where does World Fantasy stack for you compared to others?
It's the best, in my opinion. I mean, I've done a couple of smaller... In Calgary, they've got a great convention called When Words Collide, and I've done that a few times. It's been a while since I've been to that one, mind you, so I don't know what it's been like recently. I've heard great things about it. I've done World Con, but World Fantasy to me, I mean, there's a family here.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Which you've, this is your second one.
Yeah.
And you've seen that.
Right.
There's a family here. And it just continues to grow.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so special. It's just the people.
Yeah. Right?
It's just a special group that come here year after year.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, it's definitely, it's wild. I mean, it was a game changer for us going to New Orleans last year. And, like, you know, for us, like, walking in for the first time is, like, there was basically four people who were going to be there that we knew, you know, and then, like, one other person we had met a couple of times but didn't actually know, right? And then by the time we left there, it was like we had added, I couldn't even bother to count, like, how many, you know, what will be, like, lifelong friends, right? So it's pretty special. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Pretty unique. All right, one last thing for you.
Yep.
Random advice for newbie authors, can be craft or business.
I don't know. The first thing that always comes to mind is you just have to write, right? And you got to keep writing. And I know Phil's looking at me right now because he wants me to say it.
What?
It's all about the writing.
The faces. Last year we might have got a little toasty at the bar.
Yeah.
And Shane on one particular night got a little extra toasty. And he sat there for like a good solid 10, 15, 20 minutes just going, Phil, we just got to write, man. We just got to write. We just got to sit down. We got to do the writing. I'm like, yeah, Shane.
Yeah.
You're right, man. I go, you were correct. And he's like, yeah, we just got to write.
Yeah, I knew you were
right.
I knew you were setting me up for that. Yeah. No, it really is. Though.
Yeah.
It really is.
I mean, you weren't wrong.
No, and that's the thing with World Fantasy. You come out of here 4 days and you're energized.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to write next week and yeah. I'm going to get a lot of words down on paper.
Cheated. I kept my stuff up in the room every time we went up there. I just grabbed my pen and power in for a few minutes.
Yeah. You know? I used to do that earlier, but in the last few years, I haven't been able to do it as much.
Yeah.
I just find that there's just so many people here that I got to catch up with. And,
yeah. Well, you don't want to be, you didn't come all the way here to sit in your room, you know, but I'm kind of introverted by nature, believe it or not. And I need to go hide sometimes.
Yeah.
To recharge. So yeah. If I go hide and we're just sitting in the room for a minute, it's like I'll just break out the notebook and we'll see if I can knock out a half a page or a page or a sentence or something, right?
Yeah.
There was one point we went up there and I thought we were going to be up there for longer. So I sat down, I flipped open my notebook and I literally wrote one sentence and JH was like, all right, you ready to go? And I was like, all right, well, got a sentence.
Yeah.
Closed it and we came back down, you know, so. All right, well, I think you're officially the longest one because I kept all of mine to, like, 5 minutes, and you're at 11, so.
Wow, yeah.
It's kind of rude, taking a lot of the listeners' time.
I'm really sorry.